My name is Sheila Hetty, and I'm reading a story called The Man from Out of Town. I wrote this story when I was 21 or 22 years old, living in my father's basement while studying art history and philosophy at the University of Toronto. I was writing hundreds of stories at the time. I'd sort of sit down and spend a couple hours writing and maybe write 7 or 8 stories just as fast as I could. And instead of going back to edit them, at the end of a couple of years of doing that, I just chose the 30 best stories that I could find in that whole pile, and they became a book called The Middle Stories. The Man from Out of Town. Since his first day in town, the man had been looking for a nice girl to spend good times with, but none of the girls would have him. He wasn't sure why, but suspected it had to do with his status. The waitress who served him corroborated this when she called him a bum, even though he was not living on the street and he had 2 suits. Not until his roommate found out the cause of his sorrowful mood did he call up a girl he had known from the park and invite her over for a dinner of pork and mashed potatoes with nutmeg. It was her high ass that mysteriously lifted itself to her waist that caused the man to see what a nice girl she was and how pleasant she would be to spend good times with. She also had a sweet smile and some pretty funny things to say, and whenever she laughed, the sun would stream a last dying ray in through the window. Noticing all this, the roommate kept playing good tunes, and by the end of the night, the man and the girl were dancing together, and she was laughing into his shoulder, a good sign. In the morning, she sat on his couch in a denim shirt and yesterday's underwear, and her voice seemed deep when she said, "I'm going to be late for work. It's Sunday, though. Still." And she looked out the window, and the grayness of the day convinced her. Wandering into his room, she found her suit and zipped it up, and left his apartment with a goodbye shrug. Following her with his eyes as she walked to the bus stop, the man knew that this was not the girl who would be agreeable to spending good times with him. It was not easy to explain. In the afternoon, he walked down the boardwalk, drinking warm soda from a red and white cup that was waxy on the outside and gradually melting, when a man with a dog caught up to him and threw his arm around his shoulder and asked in a jaunty voice what the matter was. The man, who was new in town, was startled because he did not expect city people to care about one another. But he answered, saying, "It's that the woman who came over last night seemed to really like me, but she left this morning without making plans to see me again." "I know what it's like. I thought it must be women that were troubling you because of that troubling look on your face. You ought to come to where I work tonight, because there are plenty of pretty ladies where I work." "Where do you work?"
"A dance club."
"Oh, no," said the man, who was from a small town. "I don't mean that I want to pay a woman to take off her clothes." That night, as he sat in a booth by the wall, a tall, voluptuous woman with red hair went and sat across from him. When she spoke, her voice was tiny and girlish, and when he spoke back, her eyes lit up, knowing a good man when she saw one. If he found her interest in him any consolation, he did not show it, and continued to order drinks which cost $7. "Let me put that next one on my tab," she said, and adjusted her body in such a way that her breasts raised themselves parallel to the table. The man did not fail to notice this. "Would you like to come home with me tonight?" he asked. Growing suspicious, she said, "I thought you were a different sort of man. That's what Henry told me. And now you ask me the question everyone asks." "I'm so ashamed," he responded sincerely. "I didn't mean it that way, but I don't like being alone, and you seem like a kind woman who would be a pleasure to spend good times with, even just talking." She found this genuine enough, and was touched that there was nothing of the brute in him. Perhaps Henry was right. Even her so-called sisters, whom she hastily consulted in the back room, gave approving nods when they saw his modest eyes looking mainly at the fixtures. The apartment was sticky because of the heat, and it wasn't long before they were lying in their underwear on his bed, and he was telling of how he had become a widower so young, which was a lie, for he had never been married, or even in a real relationship twice. Since she had noticed him not noticing the dancers when she returned to the back room to get her regular clothes, she believed what he was saying, every word of it. There were simple ways some women had of telling a good guy from a bad, and her way was as stupid as any. Quite soon she found herself giving him head, and was trying her hardest because he seemed so patently not to be enjoying it. When he laid her, he did so with great care and the air of a depressive, which made her trust him all the more. It wasn't 3 weeks before they decided to live in an apartment together,
which caused tension between the man and his roommate until a replacement was found. Their life together was a gentle life of great delicacy and consideration, as they both felt sorry for the man, and he was also harboring a great confusion at his sorrowful mood not being alleviated by the presence of this woman with the red hair. Since in their hearts they both expected her to become pregnant, when she eventually did it was no great surprise. He merely stroked her arm as she lay across the base of the bed and cried about money. "I must go live with my sister," she told him. There was no part of her that was enthusiastic about living the life of a dancer with a young child. "Do you want to come with me?" she asked. He grew anxious at this request and began taking long strolls. Her sister lived in a small town with a husband and 3 kids, and the man, who was from out of town, had deliberately moved out of his town and had barely been in the city a year. When he thought about it now, the woman with the red hair hadn't been so difficult to catch. Not so terribly hard to find a girl to spend good times with in a metropolis. He didn't know why he hadn't thought of it sooner. He declined, and she ran away with her bags and her tears. But it wasn't so easy the second time around to get a nice girl, and the man soon grew lonely. After 2 months, he was forced to take in a roommate, but the only one he could find was smelly and young with a belly that hung out without discretion. This situation made the man even more lonesome than before, and one day, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he decided to visit the woman with the red hair. Walking past a fountain on his way to the train station, he passed a girl of late teenage years, who was blonde and who he supposed would like the companionship of a man like him. Dragging her into the park, he tore out 2/3 of her hair.